Well, hello everyone. This is Dr. Chris Sargent. I am the Gutsy Gal, and today we are going to talk about gluten-free. A little bit more about gluten-free, and what we're going to address today is the oh my gosh, I have to be gluten-free? Are you kidding me? That's what we're going to talk about today and let you know that it's really not as bad as you think it is. Being gluten-free is just not horrible. First things off, though, if you have listened to our podcast in the past and have liked it, I just want to thank you for listening. And if you really like it and would like to leave us a review, I'd really appreciate it. If you ever have questions, we have a phone number that you can text, email, or leave a voicemail for, 630-473-3337. And if you would just pass it on. That's what we like to do, is just pay it forward, share with your friends any kind of good information that you have. So anyway, let's get started, because gluten-free, oh no, is really not that bad. And you know, we use gluten-free diets not just for celiac disease, but for a lot of times we use it for autoimmune disorders or irritable bowel. We use gluten-free a lot, not necessarily, like I said, because people have to be gluten-free as with celiac patients, but just because we feel better when we go gluten-free. We feel better without all the grains in our life or in our diet. And we have more energy, we have less digestive upset, and we have less autoimmune reactions as a secondary offshoot from that. So those are all good side effects. And a lot of us lose weight when we go gluten-free, as long as we stay away from all those fun gluten-free products like gluten-free bagels and gluten-free brownies and all those kind of things. So let's walk through what does a gluten-free diet really look like. You know, for breakfast, gluten-free looks like eggs and vegetables. You could have some fruit, and since we're not talking about dairy-free here, you could also add in some Greek yogurt with fruit. So that gives you quite a few options for breakfast other than cereal or oatmeal, which isn't always gluten-free. So there's a nice variety of things that are fairly quick and easy. You can boil eggs, hard-boiled eggs ahead of time. You can make some turkey sausage and, you know, grab some veggies with that. So there's lots of ways to get a good breakfast in besides, you know, just eating the typical pancakes, waffles, big carbohydrate, gluten-laden breakfasts. So there's that. So mid-morning snack for gluten-free would be like an apple and maybe some peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, sun butter, something like that with a little bit of protein and fat will hold you through till lunch. And lunch can just be, you know, what more typical lunches is a salad with some kind of protein on it. Again, protein helps keep your blood sugar even and helps keep you full longer. So you can do that. You could add in a few rice crackers if you'd want, or a few gluten-free crackers or something like that to give yourself a little extra crunch, or corn chips, some GMO-free corn chips. And then mid-afternoon, some veggies and maybe some hummus. Hummus is like chickpeas and some spices all put together. And it's a nice yummy dip. It has a little bit of protein, mostly a little fat and fiber though, which will also help keep you regular and healthy with that extra fiber in there. Dinner, let's take a look at dinners, because this seems to be where we tend to have our biggest challenge. And one of the things that I've learned is that if you make your protein ahead of time, you will do so much better on any kind of diet. Basically, if you pick 2 or 3 days a week to cook some protein and you cook it ahead, you know, in my family, there's 3 of us. So if I make double, like if I make 6 pork chops or 6 chicken breasts or 6 pieces of fish, then I have 3 other meals that are already made. Basically, it's super easy to throw a baked potato in the microwave and some veggies on the stove, or make a big salad or something like that to fill in with your protein, as long as the protein is cooked. The challenges come in when we don't cook enough ahead, and then we, you know, get home at 6 o'clock and look at the freezer and go, oh gosh, everything I have is frozen. And then the last thing you want to do is cook at that late hour. So I've just found it easier to just cook a bunch ahead of time, and then you don't have to worry about it so much. And you can, you know, you can put it in individual packages, in little baggies, and throw them in the freezer if you're afraid that, you know, you're not going to get through them fast enough or whatever. If you live alone, this is excellent way to always have something cooked in your freezer. You can cook two or three steaks, put them in the freezer, cook two or three extra chicken breasts, throw them in the freezer, and then you always just always have stuff to eat, and it makes it a lot easier. And it's kind of easier to cook three or four pieces of whatever. It's just as easy to do that as it is to cook for one. And then you always have stuff there. As far as vegetables are concerned, you're really not just relegated to broccoli, which seems to be the go-to veggie for most people. And there's so much variety, and it's so we can get things so much easier now. And even as far as ease, there's even stuff that's already cut up, like already cut up broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, celery, like all that stuff you can find in your grocer's cases now, like pre-cut up. So how easy is that? You don't even have to go home and do any of the chopping. And then if you like, you could also use frozen veggies. That's just as good right now. We're trying to, you know, kind of meet you where you're at. If veggies have been something foreign to you, then maybe frozen veggie would be the place to start, because you don't have to keep a whole bunch of stuff on hand and you don't have to worry about it going bad. So frozen veggies, and they're super fast and easy to steam or just throw in the microwave really quick. So that's, look at all of the variety of vegetables out there. You're going gluten-free just is about the bread, the pasta, and the cereal. It's not about eating a whole bunch of other weird food or having to learn how to bake all over again. You really don't have to do all that. Most of that stuff, if you really, really want a gluten-free waffle, gluten-free bagel, gluten-free cookies, all of them are available over the counter now, all on your shelves, fresh even. I know there are several bakeries that have gluten-free variety of things now. So the gluten-free does not have to be a life sentence to bland and icky. It just means that we're not going to have gluten in our food anymore because it makes us feel bad. And, you know, when you start to feel good, you don't really want to go back to feeling like that. So it doesn't ever make sense to go back to feeling like that, does it? Right? Once you start feeling good, it's easy to just stay on that nice, clean road to health. So what about some salty, crunchy snacks? Because sometimes we get into that cracker, I want cheese and crackers. Well, guess what? There's a whole variety of gluten-free crackers out there that are fairly tasty, and that would be a great substitute for something like that as an afternoon snack. Again, portion control is important if weight loss is important to you. But some other crunchy snacks would be like celery and peanut butter, or celery and hummus, celery, carrots, apples. Those are nice, good, low glycemic snacks that will help get you through the afternoon or evening. Dill pickles are one of my favorites. That's a quick, open a jar, grab a pickle, good to go. So what about sweet and creamy? Well, sweet and creamy is usually not a problem unless you're dairy-free, because you can go ahead and do most of the sweet and creamy things are not gluten-containing items. So, but there's also a whole variety of coconut ice cream, almond milk products, some of the soy-based products are also pretty good as far as yogurt products and that kind of thing. So sweet and creamy is probably an easy fix to get, probably a little bit easier than the crunchy salty. And I'm a crunchy salty fan, so corn chips are kind of my go-to snack when I need to have a snack. So that whole chips and salsa thing, you know, 10 or 12 chips and some nice hot salsa, that pretty much squelches any kind of need for crunchy salty. The other thing that you need to think about is if you're craving a lot of that kind of carbohydrate, more than likely, it's because you haven't had enough protein for the day. And you want to kind of look back and see when your last protein meal was, because a lot of times what's happening is your blood sugar is going up high because you didn't have a protein at a meal, and then it's crashing too soon. And at that crash, you crash and crave. So I know we're talking about gluten-free, but if you've been used to eating like toast for breakfast or waffle for breakfast, and then you crash around 10:30 and you grab a granola bar, and then you go and grab your sandwich, and you're up and down on your blood sugar all day long. And that really sets you up for a number of other issues besides just having gluten issues. You know, that sets you up for a diabetic issue. It can set your digestive tract up for a lot of irritable bowel type symptoms, because our bodies are just not designed to eat that much wheat and that much gluten. So again, going gluten-free doesn't have to be a life sentence to ickiness. And if we keep the amount of gluten-free items that we eat in some sort of moderation, then we will also be healthier and lose some weight. It's, for some of us, that's a very, very important piece to being healthy, is to actually find an appropriate weight and be able to stay there without too much trouble. I know that staying gluten-free for me has helped me maintain my weight much, much easier than ever before. So again, you know, if we can eat, find some protein for breakfast and kind of keep a little bit of protein several times a day throughout your day, that keeps your blood sugar even, and you won't crash and crave all that bread and the sweets that you're used to craving. And that's usually what the hardest part is just, oh my gosh, I crave that bread so much. But the main reason that you were craving it probably has nothing to do with the bread or the gluten, and everything to do with why with your blood sugar crashing. So anyway, like I said, gluten-free does not have to be difficult. It's protein throughout the day mixed in with vegetables and a couple pieces of fruit, and you can do this gluten-free thing. Guacamole, hummus, some cheese sticks. They're already pre-made. They're pre-measured. Our Costco has pre-measured guacamole. It has pre-measured little things of hummus that I can throw in kids' lunches even. So there's lots of easy ways to go gluten-free, and it doesn't have to be horrible anymore. So again, my name is Dr. Chris Sargent, here to bring you the easy way to do gluten-free. And thank you so much. Our website, The Gutsy Gal, is here for you, and I'd love to hear your comments. And our number is 630-473-3337. Feel free to leave me a message, email, text, whatever. I will get all of it. And I want to say thank you to Barry at MicroShare. He makes this whole thing possible by helping me get these podcasts out to you. His number is 847-304-7885. And have a fabulous day, and realize that really gluten-free is not a life sentence to bland or yucky. And we can help you through that. So take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.